Okay, we're going to take a look at Revelation chapter 12 tonight, because I think that's probably the most important chapter in the entire book of Revelation, personally. But just to point out a couple of things, in Revelation chapter 8 and 9 are part of the last half of the seven-year tribulation. Revelation chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, or 14, 15 begins the seven bowl judgments, but all these chapters are parenthetic, parentheses. And then Revelation chapter 8 and 9, it ends with the sixth trumpet in verses 13 through 12. And then in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 through 19, is a picture of the seventh trumpet sounding, but it's still part of the parentheses. Now, there's a couple other things that I'd like to point out. There are three woes pronounced in Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, and then Revelation chapter 9, verse 12 says, one woe is past, and there come two more woes, two woes more. And then finally, in Revelation chapter 11, verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And I believe the third woe is the seventh trumpet. In verse 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, and so forth and so forth. But it doesn't sound yet. It's just it is sounded, but it doesn't commence until Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. That's when it commences once again, after all the parentheses are over with, and you all know what a parenthesis is. But the one parenthesis we're going to take a look at tonight is Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is a picture of the history of the conflict between Satan, Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes all the way through history. All the way through history. So let's begin in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Of course, you're all familiar with this. We've been through it many times. We'll go through it again in case you missed anything. Verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, which represents... Yes, very good. The woman represents Israel. The 12 tribes are the 12 stars. And she, by the way, if you'd like to prove that, look up the word 12 stars. And let's see here. And Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 to 8 also show us the same thing. But anyway, verse 2. And she, that's Israel, being with child, Jesus Christ, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Constant attack upon Israel. Constant attack upon Israel. The child, of course, Jesus Christ. And it began with Eve. When Eve had two children, she had Cain and Abel. And old Satan got behind the whole thing, trying to kill the Christ child. When she had, he had created a conflict between the two children. One killed the other. Satan thought he'd won the battle. Didn't. That wasn't the Christ. But he never stopped attacking the nation of Israel and the children of Israel. Always trying to get to the Christ child. And when Christ was born, remember Herod. Herod killed everyone under 2 years old. Thought he would get to the Christ child by doing that. Verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. These crowns represent, if you remember, the ten nations or the seven nations that have passed. Well, let's take a look at those, if you will. Let's go over here, if you will, to chapter 17. Might as well take a look at the seven crowns upon his head. Seven heads, ten horns, seven crowns upon his head. The great red dragon, who is Satan. In chapter 17, if you will, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. These kings are, or these seven heads, these seven mountains, are seven kingdoms throughout history. Began with Assyria, and then Egypt, and then Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. That's six. The seventh is yet future, which will be a type of the old Roman Empire. Yet future. On down here, if you will, verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And I got to tell you personally, I think we're almost there.
Yeah,
I can't either, actually, because I'll be out of here when it happens. And you know, another thing that people are always talking about is the number 666. We won't be here. We don't have to worry about the number.
You know what it means?
No, they don't. It's very simply the unholy trinity. Yeah. If you do a study on it, the number 666 is the unholy trinity. It'll be a literal number that everybody will have implanted in their right hand or their forehead, and if they don't have the number, they won't be able to buy or sell. But we don't have to worry about that. Now, things are going to get difficult towards the end, I believe. I believe the church will go through some problems, but I think the problems will be so bad that people will stop going to church. They'll say, yeah.
They have a company called Mundax.
What is it called?
Mundax.
What is it?
The chips.
Oh, that makes the chip?
Yeah, they're lithium
chips. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, over in Egypt, over in Great Britain, the two young kings, young princes, they've both been implanted with them so that they always know where they are.
I think it's two Greek words or Latin words, but mon and dax. Dax
Yeah.
is like that serious, and then mon is money.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I never thought of that. But I knew there was a company making a chip, but they might be making the chip. Yeah. Well, you know, I told you many times when I started a church in Rome, I had to open up a bank account for the church, and because I don't remember what the reason was exactly, but until we got everything set up, they had to give me the number 666 on my bank account so that I could use it. Until we got everything.
Huh?
That
was your account number?
That was my account. That was our account number. The lady in the bank said, boy, I hate to do this, but the computer won't give us anything but six. And I said, don't worry about it. It's just a number.
Yep.
It's just a number. She said, yeah, but you're a church, and 666 doesn't. I said, it's just a number. We'll use the checking account. We'll use the checkbook. Just go ahead with it. Won't bother us. Yeah, who knows? You know.
I just had this as Cody.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Sorry.
So anyway, back here to Revelation chapter 17, if you will. They have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, this is yet future, but that's where the ten comes in, the ten horns. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 12, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, they do every day.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what are these things, this new movie out called The Narnia Chronicles or something like
that?
Yeah. The guy that wrote that is supposed to come in five stories, and his goal is to kill God.
No, and that's not golden.
Isn't
that's the Golden Compass.
The Golden Compass. Isn't that part of the Narnia Chronicles? Okay, I'm wrong. I got him confused. What is that called? The Golden Compass. But isn't there five stories that goes with the Golden Compass?
Three?
Whatever, I could be wrong there too. Yeah. Anyhow, when that comes on TV, I turn it off because I get angry. But the guy that wrote that, the Golden Compass, yeah, come to think of it, you're right. He said his goal was to kill God, and that's what he's going to teach through his story.
I made my goal to kill him.
Yeah. Well, he'll one of these days he'll meet God, and then he'll say, well. But the point is, actually, if you stop thinking about it, he already did kill God. It was his sins that killed Christ on the cross.
Yep.
And someday when he meets Christ face to face, he'll say, well, you did already killed me once. Can't do it again.
See you.
Yeah. Okay, where was I here? Okay. Verse 3, there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and we already saw who those were, 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, Israel, who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And you ought to write down Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 to go along with that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And you probably remember what that verse has to say. He shall bruise thy heel, and so forth. And he did. He bruised Christ's heel when he nailed him to the cross. Someday Christ is going to crush his head.
Yeah.
Very prophetic.
Yes, awesome.
So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. To devour her child as soon as it was born, and he never stops. He's trying to kill Christ even today. He is killing Christ in the minds of most people, and when I hear the Christmas music out here in Madison, I'm always amazed that there is no opposition to that. I really am. It plays every day, all day, good Christmas music, and not all Christmas music is good, by the way, but most of it that they play always glorifies Christ, and I'm surprised that it they just keep doing it. Yeah. Verse 5. As a matter of fact, verse 3 and 4 took place in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Christ said, I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. And then you'll remember that many times we've discussed Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Satan was cast out of God's presence into the earth's atmosphere, outer space, onto the earth. The earth became dark and void. Then God created Adam and Eve, and in 6 days he created all things as we know them, and so forth. But he was kicked out of heaven, took 1/3 of the stars of heaven, which cannot be numbered. That's how many demons there are.
Yep.
These are the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. So if you see anyone that's demon-possessed, like this little radio behind me here,
we're
I'll tell you what. Anyhow, verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas, by the way. Who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Verse 5 takes 33 years. Verse 5 covers 33 years, does it not?
Yes.
Christ was 33 years old when he died on the cross, was nailed to the cross. She brought forth her male child, man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child, Christ, was caught up to God and to his throne. 33 years, and he was nailed to the cross. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God. Between verse 5 and verse 6 is the church age, the age that we're living in. We're still living in there. Verse 6 is yet to be fulfilled, yet future. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
And Dan, that's where Israel goes and hides, like in the mountains and stuff.
Well, some people say that it takes place at a place called Red Rock, called Petros,
yeah,
Red Rock.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Personally, I think if Satan wanted to attack Israel and Petros, he could do it. I think when God hides Israel, now a lot of people teach that. You can take it any way you want. I don't care. I personally think if God has a place prepared for him where he's going to hide him, he's literally going to hide him. Satan is not going to have any idea where they are. Yeah, I don't think he will. I think that place is called, but some people call it Red Rock Canyon, Red Rose, Petros. It has a few names, but it's a literal fortress. Israel went there before during the Roman, when in the 70 AD, A lot of them went there during the time when the Romans attacked Jerusalem and destroyed it. But anyhow, verse 6 takes place during the seven-year tribulation. So between 5 and 6 is the church age, the age that we're living in. Verse 7, there's going to be another war in heaven. Remember the first time when Satan and his devils were cast out of heaven. And then in verse 7, this takes place, I believe, right in the middle of the seven-year tribulation. And then I'll show you why here shortly. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Notice what it says. He wasn't cast out into the heavens. He was cast out into the earth. Into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. No more accusations. Now, hold your place here. Let's go to Job chapter 1. We're going to come right back here, if you will, and show you exactly what he does when he accuses the brethren in Job chapter 1. I kind of like Revelation chapter 12. I've read it many, many times, and each time I get a little more out of it. In Job chapter 1, let's go, if you will, to verse 6. You might make a couple of notes here in your Bible. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, those are angels, fallen angels, demons, they were called sons of God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, they're called devils, demons, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, try to get a picture of this, if you will. If God cast Satan out of the third heaven, that's where God dwells, right? Of course, he's everywhere. God's everywhere at all times. But that's where his throne is. God's in heaven. No sin allowed there. Satan was cast out. And so when Satan comes to present himself before God, he comes up to the third heaven, but he's not allowed in it. So we have the earth's atmosphere, the first heaven, outer space, the second heaven. Satan and his angels roam around there all day, every day, creating all kinds of havoc. But when they present themselves to God, or when Satan accuses us, he goes up to the third heaven, stops there, and then he presents his case to God. He's not allowed in heaven. Yeah. And verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, from where or from whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down on it. He's real, isn't he?
Yep.
He's still here. He still walks to and fro on it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man who feareth God and avoideth evil? Then we're not going to read any further, but Satan said to God, yeah, well, you put a hedge around him. Remove your hedge and see what happens. And that's how Satan works. He accuses us, tries to get us in trouble, and so forth. And God will only allow him to go so far. Okay, back to Revelation, if you will. We'll take a look, if you will, in chapter 13, and then we'll go back to Revelation chapter 12. If you remember what we just read, Satan and his devils, demons, are cast into the earth. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. Now, I'm going to give you my take on the Bible here. You can take it any way you like. But I want you to go to Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. As I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. We already saw who that is, right? And upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Didn't we just read who that was? Satan. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The beast who rose up out of the sea is the Antichrist. He has the same personality of Satan because he's influenced by Satan. But in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, he will literally be indwelt by Satan. And when he is, Satan will not be allowed to roam around the earth like he does now. He will be contained to the body of a man.
I just can't get over Job and the Lord talking that way.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems so.
Well, it does.
I can't never get past that. I believe that's because the Bible says it, but I just can't.
Well, I'll tell you, frankly, there's a lot of things I have trouble getting past, too.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe it.
I know. I have the same problem, so don't. But I do. There are a lot of things that I say, wow, that's just unfathomable.
But
God, you're the boss. You said it, and that's the way it is. But, yeah, there are some things, and I guess there's some things that we just don't understand.
It's almost like God has a waiting room.
Now, I know there's a lot of preachers that would hate to admit that. And, you know, well, if you're a preacher, you know everything. Don't give me that. No, I don't. I don't have perfect faith. but anyway.
We understand it. We just believe it.
Yeah. But, I feel the same way many times. So we have a picture here of the Antichrist who is literally indwelt by Satan, and we're going to prove that shortly here, I think. And they, let's see here. Oh, verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, the Antichrist. And they worshipped the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? You'll notice that it said, he had a deadly wound, and it was healed. An imitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had a deadly wound and rose from the dead. Turn over, if you will. We're going to come back here to 2 Thessalonians, if you will.
2 Thessalonians, what day?
2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. In verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing them himself that he is God. And so this is what Satan is going to do when he indwells the Antichrist, literally indwells him. He has to act like God. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 13, if you will. In verse 4, they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, the last half of the seven-year tribulation. Satan literally indwells the Antichrist at this point. Now, up to this point, I don't believe he indwelt the Antichrist, but I believe he manipulated him, controlled him, and then he shows the Antichrist having a wound. He rises supposedly from the dead. I don't believe he is dead. I think he's everybody assumes he's dead because I don't believe Satan has that power. And there's a couple of verses I could go to prove that. But might as well go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again. And I'll tell you where I get that from. tell you where I believe that. Go to verse 8, if you will. And then, that's after the Holy Spirit is removed, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Are we supposed to boogie now, or what?
Hey, this is a better counsel. How about your doing on the weekend?
Okay, so I think old Satan, you want to wait a minute here while you answer that? Okay. So I think old Satan literally indwells the Antichrist in the middle of the 7-year tribulation. It's a lying wonder. He looks dead, but he isn't. And he has a deadly wound, and the wound is healed. But I think it's a lying wonder. Now, on down to verse 11, if you will, Revelation chapter 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them who dwell to worship the first beast, who daily. In other words, let me make this brief. The second beast is the imitation of the Holy Spirit. The first beast, who is wounded and healed, he's an imitation of Christ. So we have Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, the second beast, who are the unholy Trinity. And you'll notice here, and let's go over here to verse 17, if you will, or 16. In verse 15, this unholy spirit, who imitates the Holy Spirit, has power to do all kinds of things, but in verse 15, he has power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Remember old Nebuchadnezzar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. In the middle of the 7-year tribulation, you and I will be in heaven for 3.5 years when that takes place. It will not affect us. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or name of the beast or number of his name. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Some people think that they'll be able to live through that. No, no, no. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you'll be beheaded. There's no way out. You can't hide. There's nothing you'll be able to do. And we're getting pretty close to that event. Okay, back. Yeah, be sure of it. Revelation chapter 12, once again, if you will. Now has come, in verse 10, go back and read part of that again. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. How do you overcome Satan? By the blood of the Lamb. We do not have the power to defeat Satan on our own. He is so powerful that we do not have the power. We ought to thank God that we're not just absolutely blasphemous human beings. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Bible, the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be absolutely despicable, rotten human beings like the rest of the world. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, Christians. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This is the third woe. Remember the first two woes I mentioned when we started? This is the third woe. What happens? Well, the Antichrist is indwelt by Satan, and when he does, all literal hell breaks loose. The first half of the tribulation is one thing, but the second half is something else. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, why? Because he indwelt the Antichrist. All his power to be roam about as a free thinking spirit is over. He's contained to the Antichrist. And ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down on you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Great wrath. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, who brought forth, past tense, the man-child. That's Israel. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. By the way, in the Old Testament, the Bible calls Satan a serpent. Anyone who thinks that he was a literal snake is out of their mind. It's just a type of his personality. Satan is not a serpent. I don't like snakes. But the word serpent means whisper.
Yeah, but, you know, and then they also say about, you know, in the Garden of Eden, though, Eve and Adam bit apples. It's fruit. He didn't say apples.
Didn't say apples, no. But that's humanity. That's humanity.
Or the three wise men.
Yeah. 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 The Bible doesn't tell how many there was.
We pretend.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So he has 3.5 years to persecute the nation of Israel. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood. That's humanity, probably an army, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Oftentimes you'll see in the book of Revelation where the word water, flood, is symbolic of humanity, mankind, the nations. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, always has been, as a matter of fact, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let me point something out here, if I may. The remnant of her seed are the nation of Israel, and in my opinion, they are the oil and wine of Revelation 6:6. They are those Jews who have trusted Christ as their Savior. That's the only way you're going to get into the kingdom of God, or the only way you're going to get into heaven, is by trusting Christ as your Savior, who keep the commandments of God. Does that mean the Ten Commandments? No. That means believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's one of the commandments. The other one is love one another. Those are the last two commandments. They keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, they believe the gospel and they are saved. The old serpent was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Remember what we talked about earlier? God hid them somewhere in the earth. I don't think it's Red Rose Canyon or Petros. I don't believe that's where it is, because Satan knows where that is. And if Satan wants to, he could destroy that. He's going to have missiles, bombs. He's going to have all kinds of... God is just going to hide him somewhere. I don't know how. I don't know where. He's just going to hide him. And so, probably somewhere in Geneva. Well, you never know. So, yeah. Okay, go to Malachi chapter 3, if you will. We're going to take a look at something way back here, if you will. Malachi chapter 3. Do you know how many of Israel will be saved out of the tribulation? Well, a little bit more than that. So where did I say to go? Malachi.
Yes.
I'm not sure yet. It's going to be 1/6, I believe. Or 1/3, rather. In Malachi chapter 3... Let's go here, if you will. Verse 11, probably be a good place to start. God said in Malachi chapter 3, I will rebuke the devourer, Satan, for your sakes, Israel, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, and you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. By the way, that hasn't happened yet, has it? All nations called Israel everything but blessed.
Yes.
Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said it is vain to serve God, and they have. Have they not? So does the rest of the world. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Well, does that sound like today or not? They that try or tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. By the way, if you fear the Lord, if you think about the Lord, if you read the Bible, everything you do is written somewhere in a book of remembrance. Did you know that? There's also a book of life. I think they're two separate books. The book of life is, did you know that everybody's name is written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, long before you and I were born? And if we die without trusting Christ as our Savior, our names are erased. If we trust Christ as our Savior, our name will never be erased. That's the book of life. But a book of remembrance, I believe, is a different book. Verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, and that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. When does that take place? Right after the tribulation in the kingdom. God said, let me read that verse one more time. Then shall ye return, Israel, into the kingdom, and discern between the righteous and the wicked. You know something? You and I will have our new glorified bodies when that takes place. But can you imagine living in a world where discernment is made between the righteous and the wicked? We don't live there today. As a matter of fact, there is no discernment today. The wicked is wicked, and everybody loves it. The righteous is a mean-spirited human being, if you're called a right-wing conspiracist, you know, among other things.
You know, someone said to me, well, I just struck my mind, they said, well, people that need, they were taught, they religion, but they were talking the Lord that they're weak-minded.
The religious?
Yeah, they are weak-minded. And I wanted to say, no, it takes a lot of courage.
It does.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something. I know some preachers, I've known quite a few of them over the years, that have more guts than the so-called whatever out there, over there in the bar drinking and fighting and brawling. I know some preachers got more guts than those guys ever did. I know one preacher, he was a Green Beret. And he was in some kind of a secret service that he wasn't even allowed to talk about. He wouldn't even tell me about it. And then Max Younts, some for those of you that knew him, he was a rough dude. He was a police officer, and he was a boxer when he was young. And he didn't take anything from anybody. And I knew a couple other guys that were in the ministry that were. I knew one guy in West Virginia that worked in the oil fields, and he was a raggedy, rough character. But I'll tell you what, the guys he worked with respected him because they respected everything about him. So there's I'll take a tough old preacher over these people any day. Yeah. Me, I'm a sissy. So I don't fit into the crowd. I'm just a run of the mill old sissy. But I try to tell everybody that, but you know what? Anyhow, better get off that subject. So during the 7-year tribulation, old Satan will never quit trying to destroy the nation of Israel He's going to come to his end, but he's wroth because he knows he has but such a short time. You know what I often wonder is, if Satan knew the Bible, and I know he does, why does he continue trying to have his own way?
Pride?
Yeah, pride. I guess that's the word, pride.
Well, I mean, honestly, because, you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine last night. It's like, what made him decide, you know, I can't bet it, but what made him decide that he could challenge God for his power, knowing that he was created by God?
Pride.
Well,
pride.
I mean, outside of pride, I mean, what else is there? Because, like, he created you. He made you out of nothing.
Well, consider this guy that wrote that new story. What's the name of that again?
Golden Compass.
Yeah, the Golden Compass. There's a guy that thinks he can literally kill God. I mean, he really does. Yeah. He thinks that he can talk our young people, our young children, into reading his book, watching the movie, and kill God. He actually said so.
Well, that's what the movie's based on, about killing God.
That's what he said.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I don't. That's all I know.
Isn't that
That's what Satan thinks, yeah. He already tried once. He thought if he killed Christ, he would destroy him.
How can you kill the infinite?
Yeah, but how can you kill your creator?
He thinks he's better than God.
He does. If you read Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, he does, or he did. I think he knows better now. But can you imagine not only Satan... But I often thought, how can you imagine one-third of the angels following him?
Yeah.
One-third. God said the angels are so numerable that you cannot count them. But one-third of them followed Satan to their destruction. Just like most of our neighbors.
They must talk them up or something.
I don't know. But it's pretty sad. All I know is, I'll tell you one thing. Remember the book of remembrance we were talking about? If you'll read the Bible, most through Revelation here, you'll see that the angels would come down and open a little book. They would open a little book. God has everything written so that there will never be any mistake. All he has to do is open up his Bible and say, I wrote it down. That's all he has to do. Everyone is going to be held accountable. Then there's a book of remembrance. And he told us in Malachi that there is one. So when he opens it up, people are going to say, well, I didn't know about that. Well, I wrote it down.
I told you. Right here is where I told you.
Yeah. And then there's a book of life. And he's going to open the book of life. Some people's names are going to be erased. And he said, well, you were there. Your name was in there. Think about the great white throne judgment. How many people are going to stand there and say, yeah, but Lord, it's not fair.
I was good.
Yeah.
I did these good things.
My mom and dad were Catholics or Mormons. Or my mom and they were good Christian people. You can't do this.
Yeah.
And he's just going to open up his book and say, yeah, but what about the cross and Christ and blood? What about all that? Everything's written down.
The fallen angels or demons, they'll be judged. Will they be judged along with the unsaved?
The demons?
Yeah, the demons.
No, they're already judged.
They're already judged.
There's no judgment for them if they've already been judged.
But when the great white throne comes, that's when they'll be cast into the lake of fire, right?
Yeah. But, you know, there's going to be demonology throughout the kingdom.
Yes.
So they will not be completely wiped out until Satan is cast into the lake of fire. Because if you stop to think about it, at the end of the thousand-year reign, a multitude is going to follow Satan that's going to be the second Magog.
Yeah.
Okay. In my opinion, with the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, ruling the earth, they have to be demon-possessed in order to reject that. You almost have to be. And there's a lot of demon possession in our society today. There are a lot of people demon-possessed that will never manifest. You'll never see it. But I can tell you, I've seen people go to church that, I'll tell you, were demon-possessed. I've seen them. They look like Christians, they walk like Christians, but they don't talk like Christians. They don't tell you that they trusted Christ as their Savior. They won't acknowledge that. And I've seen them sitting in church looking out the window. They won't crack open the Bible. I've seen them. And there's demon possession in our churches. Preachers and pastors are demon possessed. They have, if they don't teach the truth, they teach a lie. And if they teach a lie, where do they get it? You don't get it from God. If you teach a lie, it has to come from somewhere. God is not behind it. Now, there's a lot of people that teach a lie, let's say, concerning repent. That's a lie. But there's a lot of preachers that teach that through ignorance. I wouldn't call them demon-possessed. They teach it through ignorance because that's what they've been taught. And they because that's what they've been taught, they adhere to it. If they would just go back and study it and learn it, they'd get over that. But I think that's done through ignorance. But I wouldn't call them demon-possessed. But there's a lot of demon-possessed preachers out there.
So you take it back to the original text.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. There's some people running for the president of this country that, in my opinion, are demon-possessed.
All of them.
And I'll tell you, some of them look like they're pretty Christian. So, but anyhow. Anyhow, Revelation chapter 12 is a historical account of Satan, Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with the time when Satan was cast out of heaven, went to persecute the woman, and it ends with the Revelation chapter 12 ends with the end of the seven-year tribulation. So, pretty awesome chapter once you get to know it. Okay, any questions? All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll close, if you will. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for those that are here this evening. I want to thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. It's a blessing and an honor. And I want to thank you for what you've taught me in your word. It's also a blessing and an honor. And I ask, Lord, that you bless those that are here this evening. In Christ's name, amen.
Well,